Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your, you know, your position at the restaurant.
Hi, I'm Angel Barreto. I'm the executive chef of Anju in Washington, D.C.
And Anju is well-known in this area, but it's about to become even more well-known because the James Beard Foundation is doing its Taste of America series. I think it's hitting 20 different cities. It's the 10th annual Taste of America series. But D.C. is one of those cities, and you're going to have a sold-out dinner tomorrow night, Thursday night, at Anju on 18th Street Northwest. Talk about the event itself. Is it like a film thing, or is there cameras, or is it is there a Taste of America James Beard host or officials that come, judges that come, or what do you know about it?
No, so it's basically a satellite dinner series based across the United States, joining chefs from different culinary backgrounds, kind of highlighting the tapestry of what American cuisine is, showing Mexican, Korean, a little bit of everything. So for us at Anju, we're being paired with Anna Castro from Lingua Madre. She does contemporary and traditional Mexican food. So we're doing a dinner with her. So it's fun pairing of Korean and Mexican food and creating a menu with chefs using local ingredients. James Beard Foundation chose chefs who were leading kitchens and doing things a little bit differently. Not only are these chefs people who are fantastic cooks, they're also members of their community and they're giving back. And so the foundation's trying to highlight what it means to be currently like a chef in, you know, our society. It's beyond just food and great cooking.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's sort of, I guess, an overview of it. Drill down a little more specifically on the menu that you and Lingua Madre will be doing at the actual event. You know, like, could you tell me sort of, I know it's like a multi-course menu, but could you take me through a little bit of it?
Yeah, so it's a combination of like Chef Anna Castro's ideas and my ideas for the menu. So I have a couple courses that I'm doing, and she's also doing a course. So she's very big into masa production. So she's paired up with a couple of companies across the United States sourcing great fresh masa. She's going to highlight that doing a fresh masa dish with beans and a fermented daikon on top. And then at Anju, we're doing a cheese course using Kerrygold Irish cheese. There's a dish in Korea called hotdak. Hotdak is traditionally a pancake stuffed with either red bean paste or nuts or even japchae noodles, but we're doing this time as a cheese course. We're stuffing it with a mixture of different Irish cheeses and strawberry preserves. We're also doing what's called a sambord. So sam means in Korean to be like food to be consumed with lettuce. So we're doing a duck breast and prime ribeye sambord. So it's kind of a hybrid between the two ideas. And then we're joining everything together with our dessert. So the dessert is a combination of a Korean idea called bingsu. Bingsu is shaved ice. So we're doing a mango bingsu with coconut ice, tahine, tamarind straws. So it's like a play on a Korean dessert with some Mexican influences.
Fantastic. Now, as far as James Beard goes, you were a finalist this year, I believe, in James Beard Awards. You were nominated nationally for Best Emerging Chef, and then nominated regionally for Best Chef in the Mid-Atlantic. Do I got those two right?
Yeah, I was a finalist this year for those two categories, for Best Emerging Chef and Best Chef Mid-Atlantic.
So a finalist. Nice.
Finalist. Yeah.
That's really exciting. So yeah, I mean, I'd love to get a little soundbite for the radio on that. You know, how big of an honor was it to get honored with those this year?
James Beard Awards for, I think, most chefs is like the creme de la creme to kind of get there. So when I got nominated, or just to be in the same category, a lot of these chefs I admire, I thought it was absolutely amazing. Because when I'm in Anju, I don't really think about a lot of things besides work and trying to get things done. So when people recognize what you do, it does feel good to be there and to see people think what you do is meaningful and impactful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit more about Anju. Obviously, it's a Korean restaurant, but whenabouts did it open? And was it always in the same location?
So Anju opened about 3 years ago, and it was in the same location, but it was called Mandu before. And Mandu was one of the first Korean restaurants in Washington, D.C. And then there was a fire. And after the fire, they decided to reopen, but do things a little bit differently and reopened as Anju. And Anju is a contemporary Korean restaurant, I say, but we kind of do a little bit of everything. We have dishes from our owner's mom's original menu called Mama Lee's Classic. So dolsa, bakjim, those sort of items are still on our menu. But we also have contemporary Korean dishes, dishes from the 16th century in Korea. So we really don't really pigeonhole ourselves in Korean food. Our goal here is to show people the broad swath of what Korean food is and kind of educate the public, because most people have a limited scope of what Korean food is. So that's our goal here, is to be kind of propagators of Korean food.
Fantastic. You mentioned you mentioned the specific menu items for the Taste America event, but just more broadly, give our listeners a reminder of what menu items that is on there typically, just on a regular, weekday or weekend night when they come, what sort of food can they expect?
Yeah. Some of our most popular dishes at Anju are obviously our Korean fried chicken. It's a double fried chicken. It's a half a chicken toss in a spicy gochujang sauce and an Alabama white barbecue sauce made with ginger and garlic. We have pork and kimchi mandu dumplings. They're very popular. Also, we have a vegetarian dumpling called yache mandu made with impossible meat, which is something a little bit different you normally don't see, but they have this really great meatiness, but they're also vegetarian 100%. As for entree-wise, jampong is probably one of my favorite dishes. It's a spicy seafood noodle soup with scallops, mussels, shrimp, calamari. It's really, really delicious. And also we have our regular kalbi, which is our marinated short rib that we grill and slice, and it's served with rice, lettuce, pears, and you build like a lettuce wrap with it.
That sounds absolutely delicious, and I'm so mad at you for saying that right now, because now I'm hungry. awesome. All right, cool. Well, I have plenty on the actual event and stuff, but I guess just before we run, give me a little bit more of your personal backstory. Where did you grow up? How'd you get into cooking to begin with?
So I grew up as a military kid, kind of moving around a little bit everywhere, and my dad got a permanent position at the White House with the Clinton administration, and so I grew up from the Clinton administration to the end of the Obama administration at the White House. So I always thought I wanted to be in politics, of course, So I started going to George Mason, studying international relations. I worked in a lobbying firm as an extern, and I quickly realized it wasn't the life for me. I wasn't really happy doing this. And I always had a passion for cooking because of my mom. So I decided to go to culinary school. So I went to the Academy of Cuisine, which was in Maryland at the time. It was one of the best culinary schools in the area. A lot of great chefs from our area came from there. Katsuya Fukushima, Carla Hall, a lot of people graduated from that great school. I left there and went to a restaurant in Virginia called Vermilion. I worked there for a little while. When I knew it was time to leave, I knew I wanted to cook Korean food or Pan-Asian food. So I went to work at Wolfgang Puck the Source, and I was there for a very long time. I was there from working my way up from cook to sous chef to executive sous chef, and then after I did
Was that the one over behind the
museum?
Now defunct museum.
Yeah, I was there for a very long time, for over 5 years, and I decided to leave. And I had took a trip to Europe and was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. My former chef and his friend, and my friend now, Danny Lee, decided to open a restaurant called Anju, and they contacted me and they said, "Hey, we think you would be a great fit for this." And Korean food was always what I wanted to do. Even when I came to Source, I told Scott, who was the chef there, I wanted to cook Korean food, even though we didn't do it. So when this opportunity came up, they were like, "Hey, we really want you to be the chef of Anju." So I joined on. I joined on as the chef of Anju, and they weren't quite ready for me yet. So I helped them with Chaika, which is their other restaurants. I helped them do catering. I helped them open a location in DuPont Circle, kind of whatever they really needed. And all between, I was working on menu recipe development. I was making kimchi at the time. So when we rolled into Anju, we already had kimchi that was a year old, which is kind of fun and funky to play around with. And since then, I've been here grinding, cooking, learning as we go along in this journey.
We just went through a huge pandemic. I just spoke to the Voltaggio brothers the other day about how it was like trying to overcome it. And it was crazy. It was a crisis for the restaurant industry. Just real quick, tell me how you were able to get through it. I mean, that must have been a scary time. You had to be resilient.
For us as a team at Anju, we really had to come together as a team and figure out. We never did to go when we opened Anju. It was always in-house dining. So we had to figure out, number one, what dishes that we could do to go and how we facilitate it. and how can we do it at large volume with a smaller team? So it was difficult. It was a very hard learning process, but thankfully we have so many great viewpoints here from my fantastic GM to our beverage director to our other owner, Danny Lee, even my sous chef, James Park. We all came together and we put all of our ideas on the table and we figured out the best solution of what we could do. Not to say it was, you know, there was ups and downs, but we persevered. And I always tell people it's like it's a crucible. A crucible is something you put immense pressure out of. And once you get done with it, you have something beautiful. And that's kind of what we came out of it with. You know, we persevered through some insurmountable things we thought we could never do, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, we're glad you're still cooking, as they say, but, thank you so much again, everyone. It's the 10th annual Taste America. It's coming to Washington, DC for the James Beard Foundation. It'll be at Anju 18th Street Northwest, on Thursday night. I'm trying to figure out how to position this. Cause obviously I don't typically like doing stories on sold out stuff, but like we mentioned, you know, people can still, it'll highlight the restaurant. So do you know anything about the deal of, like, is the sold out portion like in a back section of the restaurant, but other people can still come and look over, or the whole place is closed?
Any restaurant, we're completely maxed out, so we're using upstairs and downstairs.
Okay,
we would have liked to have some a la carte dining, but that didn't work out because we were just oversold.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll just so it's not something where people can come and sort of watch from their table off in the corner. It's you can't even get in unless you got a table.
We're completely booked. Yeah.
Okay.
We're a tiny little restaurant in like a row house.
Yeah. Right. Do you know, are there any other famous dignitaries or other chefs in the area, or you know what I mean? Do you know who is on the guest list for this sold out thing?
No, I haven't received the final guest list yet.
Okay.
I know we have a lot of like corporate sponsors and people coming.
Okay.
But like dignitaries and people I'm not really sure.
Right. But basically you said it's like a Zoom, it's like a satellite video sort of thing with other restaurants, or I guess I'm just trying to find out more about the actual event.
Phase 20 works is there's different dinner pop-up series across the United States. So we are chosen as one. So there'll be one in Boston, there'll be one in Hawaii, and they just pair two chefs and they're individually dinners. They're not connected at all. And so both chefs work together to create a menu highlighting their unique styles and where they come from. So James Beard Foundation is sending Anna Castro from New Orleans here to cook with us. And me and Anna have been talking off and on for the past month about food and what she would like to do. So it's a way to foster community among chefs and really highlight the diversity of the American food scene. At the same time, these are chefs who are people who are doing some sort of impactful change in their community.
Gotcha. Well, it's really cool that they selected you. I guess just, yeah, let's end there. How exciting is it that of all the places that they could have chosen in DC, that you are the one that they're doing for Taste America DC?
I think it's absolutely amazing. It's a huge highlight and shows the strength of my team and kind of what we do at Anju. And it's a great honor for us to be able to highlight what Korean food is to a group of people. And also to welcome Anna Castro from New Orleans here and show the amazing food she creates.
Awesome. Well, we really, really appreciate you joining us. We look forward to it. And everyone, it is the Taste America DC at Anju in Northwest DC over on 18th Street. Obviously it's sold out, but use this as an excuse to head on over there and see why it's such a big deal. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.